The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. We had a wonderful night last night at First Baptist Texarkana here in Texarkana, Texas. We had our annual Fall Festival. And when we do a Fall Festival, we have obviously lots of candy, trunk or treat, and games like carnival type games for the kids to play and to win prizes and candy. We have hot dogs, we had Frito pies, we had ice cream, we had funnel cakes and drinks, and it was just a great time. We passed out 2,000 crosses that said Jesus is Lord. The Gideons were there passing out New Testaments, and so we just give the Lord praise. We figured we had probably, 2,500 to 3,000 people on campus. It was windy and cold last night, and so that might have kept some away, but as many had told me as I was walking around, they said, you know, we like it when it's a little colder. Last year it was a little warm and people were sweating, and this time, yesterday, we had to bundle up because it was cold. But what I've noticed is kids handle cold weather pretty well. I used to love cold weather when I was a young guy, and now as I get older, I can't handle the cold. The older I get, the colder I get. And I guess that's just your skin gets thin. I don't know, something like that. Well, I wanted to talk to you today about taking personal responsibility for your life. Do you take personal responsibility for your life? Or do you expect someone else to take responsibility for your life? You know, when we have kids, they come into this world. The Lord blessed Debbie and me with three little girls. They come into this world, they take zero responsibility for their lives, just as we all did. We need someone to feed us and clean us and change us and provide for us. We can't do anything for ourselves. And then the goal is that you grow up and you get off mother's milk and you start to eat food and you start to be able to go to the bathroom and clean yourself and all those things. You know, my middle daughter Amy is potty training Chase, and that's not a fun experience. And so you know, you have to ask him all the time, Chase, do you need to go to the bathroom? Jack has kind of graduated past the potty training, but you know, there can still be accidents. And so, you know, you get to where you can take care of yourself, hopefully to the point of you mature to a full adult person, and then you are completely responsible for your life. You're responsible for your decisions. You're responsible to make a living. And then as you God opens the door, I think about my own life. Okay, so I went to high school and I went to college, and my parents did provide for my college education. And then I came home and got a job and began to work and met my wife, and then we were out on our own and we were responsible. Nobody was giving us anything. We had to earn it. Now, that is the way that the Bible sets up life. Here's what Paul said to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, that you might follow our example. Hey, we're going to work hard. We're not depending upon you to give to us, although that is our right as ministers of the gospel. But Paul said we wanted to set that example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him, so that he may be put to shame. And yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, the Bible is very, very clear. God expects us to work. In the Ten Commandments, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. The seventh day you rest. God's formula is 6 days of work, 1 day of rest in every 7 days. Well, we have people today that have decided they don't want to work. They don't need to work. They're not going to take personal responsibility for their lives. They expect the government to take care of them. That is a sick and twisted and perverted view of life. Jenna Ellis, I was listening to the last segment of her program, and she was talking about all that's going on with the fact that the government shutdown is now into day 30, and November 1st, all those SNAP benefits. SNAP stands for, I had to look it up, we used to call it food stamps, but SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Sounds a lot better, I guess, than food stamps. It was always called food stamps until they changed it to SNAP on October 1st, 2008. Well, 41.7 million Americans are on this Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, food stamps. And if those food stamps run out, then what are they going to do? And according to AI, of those 41.7 million, at least 10% of those people are able-bodied people who could get a job. Now, you've heard me say this, and the Bible is clear about this. We are to help those who cannot work. We are not to help those who will not work. There's a big difference between I cannot work, I cannot take responsibility for my life in a particular area because I'm disabled in some way, versus I choose not to. Well, I've seen videos of protesters, and this was during the Summer of Love, the riots in Seattle and other places, Portland. And they would ask one of the rioters, hey, what's going on? What would you do for a living? He goes, not really concerned about that right now. It's like, hey, he was in his 20s. You don't have a job? No, I just protest and loot and destroy. Now, he didn't say that, but that's what he was doing. And that's what he was a part of. And so it's like, well, wait a minute. You need to be working. And if you're not going to work, then guess what? We're not going to provide for you. And as you've heard me say many times on the program, hunger is a great motivator to get off the couch and get a job. Now, we have such a twisted and perverted government in terms of so many states that we actually pay people more money to not work than we pay them to work. In 40 states in the United States of America, welfare benefits exceed the earnings of a person who would work full-time at a 8-hour minimum wage job, $8 an hour minimum wage job. You can make more money if you stay home. Hawaii is the highest. They pay $29.13 an hour, or $60,500 a year in welfare benefits. Well, that there are a lot of jobs that don't pay that. And so I can work full time and make $45,000-$50,000, or I can do nothing and get on this program in Hawaii and get a $10,000 raise per year. I mean, it's just insane. You're going to pay people more money to not work than you would pay them to work. Now, that was one of the things that caused me some years ago to say, we need to recognize the people in our community who work the hard jobs, the low-paying jobs, the jobs that are critical, the jobs that are involved in the water plants, the jobs that deal with waste removal, solid waste removal, non-hazardous waste removal, the jobs for the city and the county with construction, building the roads and things like that, those hot jobs in the summer, those cold jobs in the winter, and those guys are there day in and day out, and they're making, I don't know how much they make, maybe they make $10 an hour, $15 an hour, whatever it is, $20 an hour, I don't know, but it's not going to be a high-paying job, but they're doing it. And if nobody does it, we're in serious trouble. And so we came up with the Unsung Heroes Luncheon. We do it in December as, couple it with a Christmas benefit. And we say, hey, we want to honor you guys. And we want to say thank you for what you do. And many of them work in the school district, crossing guards. They work in the maintenance department of the school, fixing buses and doing things like that. Those are tough jobs. Working in the school is hard. Being a school bus driver, a public school bus driver, good night. That would be so difficult as you deal with those kids. And we want to say thank you for doing that. And the water plant workers, man, those guys are critically important. The ones that are making sure we have fresh water delivered to the tap, the ones that are dealing with the wastewater, the sewer treatment plants, those guys are important. Those ladies are important. And we need to let them know, hey, we appreciate what you do. And we thank you that you are not just saying, well, forget it. I'll just go on welfare. I'll make more money if I don't work, because we have such a twisted, polluted, upside down system. So we started that Unsung Heroes Luncheon, and we let them know, we give them a feast and we give them a gift and we tell them thank you for what they do, and we let them know that we love them at First Baptist Texarkana. We appreciate what they're doing. You know, there's something about when you take responsibility for your life, there's just something about it that you go to bed at night and you feel good about yourself. It doesn't matter if, well, I could have made more money if I didn't do anything. Well, you could have made more money if you'd robbed a bank, provided you gotten away with it. But it's not about that. It's about being honest before the Lord, and an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. It makes all the difference in the world. But now Jenna brought this up in her program. We have poisoned the minds of so many in America thinking that that they're owed these things. I'm owed food stamps. I don't have to work. The government is required to take care of me. And so, if they don't take care of me, well, that's on them. That's not on me. Well, I ran across this back and forth that this lady did, where she's taking both sides of an issue and going back and forth with herself, talking about socialism. You know, New York City's getting ready to vote in a socialistic mayor. How disastrous will that be? Well, this is what she had to say as she debated herself.
I am so sick of capitalism. We need socialism, and we need it now. That's actually a terrible idea, and people will starve. What are you talking about? People are already starving. People are going to be starving because the government's not providing the SNAP and EBT this month. Right, because whenever you depend upon the government to feed you, you also allow the government to starve you. No, you're not making any sense right now. We need to vote in socialism so that the government can take care of us. Right, yeah, and when the government fails to get their act together and feed the entire population, then the entire population will starve. But that's not gonna happen. It's literally happening right now, just on a smaller scale. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't see the issue whenever you champion for socialism, and then you're also mad when people who depend on the government to eat can't eat. You're not connecting the dots. No, you are just fascist. You're a fascist.
And that's how it always ends. They can't answer the argument. The logic is so flawed. And then it's, well, you're a fascist. You're a Nazi. You're Hitler. You're the Antichrist. It's insane. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we are up against a break, but we'll be right back talking more about taking personal responsibility for your life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about taking personal responsibility for your life. Now, the government shutdown began on October 1st, and we're into day 30 of the shutdown. And if memory serves, I think the longest shutdown we had was 35 days, so this is approaching a record, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. Now, this was discussed, it's been discussed a lot on the news. It was discussed on CNN, and the Democrats say it's the Republicans' fault. Well, the Republicans say it's the Democrats' fault. It's pretty hard to say it's the Republicans' fault when they keep bringing a clean CR to the table saying, let's keep the government open and negotiate while the government is still operating. And the Democrats are saying, no, we're not going to do that. We want all these things, and it's $1.5 trillion added to the national debt over 10 years is what they're asking for, which is just insane when you're $38 trillion in the hole already to add another one. What's another $1.5 trillion on government giveaway programs? And so the Republicans are saying no. And this was what took place on CNN on one of their panel discussions just yesterday.
The Republicans control the Senate. Republicans control the White House. So any shutdown that we have is 100% on them. They fully own this.
Who's voting for the against the continuing resolution in the Senate right now? Who's voting it? Which party is voting against it?
So there may be a party voting against it.
Which party?
But if you want to,
not a party, which?
If you want to get someone to come in your direction, you offer you offer an olive branch and say, here's what we can do together. There's no desire to do that on the part of the Republicans who have the majority.
Well,
so that's what's happening right now.
So basically, she won't say it. The Democratic Party is refusing to vote for a continuing resolution in the Senate that they voted for 13 times when Joe Biden was the president. You asked how long this is going to go on. You go on CNN.com right now and you can read an article where a Democratic advisor said, quote, this will keep going until planes start falling out of the sky.
Let me just.
So that was Scott Jenkins, the voice of reason on CNN, one of the few. And so he called that lady out that was saying, well, it's the Republicans' fault because they have the majority in the House. They have the majority in the Senate. They have the White House. And he said, well, yeah, but who's voting against the continuing resolution, the clean CR, which means we just operate under the same parameters that we were operating at before. And they voted, as Scott Jenkins points out, they voted to keep doing that 13 other times, but now they're saying no. And you have the leader, Chuck Schumer, of the Democrats in the Senate, and then Hakeem Jeffries in the House, and they keep coming on before the television cameras and saying, oh, it's the Republicans' fault, Republican and Republican. Well, even their own party knows we're the ones voting against this. Now, they don't like Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania because he's not been radicalized. He's not been taken over by the extreme left of the party. And this is what he had to say regarding the shutdown.
Hey, I've heard that the government is shut down. Is that true?
I think that is the case.
Well, it's fake news. What?
Yeah. What do you say to Democrats who have blocked this bill now 11 times?
Wrong. Respectfully wrong to do that. Open up the government. I believe John Thune is an honorable man, and I do believe we could have a serious conversation to talk about extending these tax credits. I've always supported that. You could check my record. I vote for that. And now no one can control what the president wants to do. I mean, he's going to do what he's going to, whatever. But I do believe it's entirely appropriate now. Open it back up. It's, we have to, now even people in my state, and SNAP is now. Now, like, people need that to eat. And now this is about who's winning, who's like, well, people are, America's losing.
Are Democrats' position hurting your constituents right now?
I'm saying that, you know, my wife has dedicated her professional career for food insecurity. And right now, she's doing it right now as we're speaking. And now, food insecurity is a real thing. You know, I see that. I mean, people live that. And now, because we're having this political back and forth, and it's wrong. And that's why I do believe we can achieve extending those tax credits. And now that's where we need to be right now. We're in.
That was John Fetterman, and he is advocating that the Democrats come to the table, sign the continuing resolution, and reopen the government, and then work on those other things. The Republicans are not going to go for those things. I mean, Trump got elected because we wanted to, as a country, we said, hey, 77 million of us said we want to reduce the federal deficit. We want to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse. We want to start handling our finances responsibly. We want to cut out all these giveaway programs that we got going on and do it responsibly. Well, the Democrats don't want to do that. Now, I ran across a piece by Tyrus. Tyrus, the former pro wrestler, he's a panelist on Greg Gutfeld's program. And Tyrus, it says of him that he embodies the everyman conservative voice. You might have seen Tyrus before. He's got that Abe Lincoln beard, big, tough, strong guy. But he brought this up, and I think it has a lot of merit, because as Scott Jenkins said, the Democrats have said that we're going to keep this shutdown going until the planes fall out of the sky, obviously speaking hyperbolically, but we're going to put such pressure on Donald Trump and the Republicans and create such an uproar in the country that they're going to have to knuckle under to the pressure. This is what Tyrus had to say as he looks at that scenario taking place.
So what do you make of this? Is this some cognitive dissonance, or
no,
are they just lying?
No, I think we're all being silly by saying those things out loud. This is just act two of what we saw during Trump's first term. First term, they went with, they tried to do it politically with impeachments and dossiers and stories, and the exact opposite happened. It made Trump a martyr. Mm-hmm. They tried to legally arrest him for bull, and it didn't work. But what they did was that on the second time around, they're now going after a certain population of people. The reason why you say, well, we can prove it. At what point in the last 10 years have we been seeing this where they've ever come back and said, we were wrong about Russia, or we didn't say that? That's not the reason why they're saying it. They're not saying it for rational people to question it. They're saying for people who just read a headline.
Mm-hmm.
He's Hitler. So then they go look and click. Now you see ICE agents trying to do their job and civilians trying to stop them because they're like Gestapo. So you have that. Now you have those riots.
Mm-hmm.
And with the government shutdown, the Democrats are not, and no time soon do they want it back, because they're going to get the second part of their faith, where you're going to have the people who are not getting welfare checks, people who are no longer getting the WIC programs, all the stuff. What do you think the worst of that group's going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to loot stores.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have anarchy in the street. You have an undersized police force. You have ICE and the National Guard dealing with immigration. So then pretty soon, you're going to have to do what? National Guard is going to have to deal with just keeping people safe on the street, because where? In the two biggest cities, New York and California, you're going to have complete unrest. Mm. That's their plan. His presidency will be nothing but burning buildings and fires, and eventually it doesn't matter what's next, because they will ruin a second term with everybody fighting in the streets, and that's all they're going to see. So they don't have to say, oh, I didn't mean to call him Hitler. They've already done it. They've already convinced. All you gotta, if you convince 5 million people in this country that somebody's Hitler, you can destroy cities with that.
Yeah.
Look what happened in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They are running their plan. There is no government. The government shutdown, this is Trump shutdown. They can't stop him, because if they worked with him, he would have one of the most successful presidencies in history. So that means what? An easy way for Vance or Rubio or whomever chooses to run the Republican Party? No, so they will destroy it from the ground up. with the lower part of our society, unfortunately.
I think that is very insightful. And so they don't want to work with Trump. Okay, you became president. Let's work with you to try and make the country as good as it can possibly be. Well, that should be the attitude of every politician. But that is not the attitude of the Democrats, maybe with the exception of John Fetterman. But the attitude in the party itself is we oppose Trump for anything and everything. Whatever he wants to do, we're against it. Doesn't matter what it is. Well, Trump is for breathing air. We're against it. It's ridiculous, and it's irrational, and it's not helping America. Anyway, they hate the idea of make America great again. Well, America was never great, is their attitude. Okay, well, let's just make America great. Take the again off. Just MAG, MAG, let's make America great. No, we don't want to do that. They're just against everything. You know, we have Make America Healthy Again with RFK Jr. Ah, that guy's an idiot. He's a you know, conspiracy theorist, and we can't trust him, and he's awful. It seems like every American would want to make America healthy again, as you see pictures of the beaches today versus the beaches in the early 1970s. What did you see in the early 1970s? Very few people overweight. What do you see now in 2025? You see people grossly overweight. Obesity is a huge problem. You see all the things that RFK has pointed out with autism and other diseases. We have more medicines than ever before. We have more vaccines than ever before. And, you know, as you've heard me say many times, and it goes back to this so often, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And when pharmaceutical companies say, what we're into is making money primarily, it's not helping people, that is ancillary. What is the most important thing for us is making money. Now, they'd never say it like that, but that's what we're seeing. A doctor friend of mine said, you know, we used to have new antibiotics that would come out, you know, every year or two because, you know, bacteria and things build up a resistance to certain antibiotics. He said, but I haven't seen any new antibiotics in the last 5 or 6 years. And I asked one of the reps, why is it that we're not seeing those? And they said, well, there's not any money in those. We can't make money on the new antibiotics, so we're not coming up. We're not doing research on those. Well, yeah, but those help people. And so in my mind, if you're going to be in the medical profession, and doctors have this heart and this mind to help people, but Big Pharma seems to control everything with hospitals and how things come down the pike. They're the headwaters. And so when they're more interested in making money than helping people, then you got a serious, serious problem. And it has to be, I'm in business to help people. And at the same time, I'm going to make money. But my goal is to do no harm in the Hippocratic Oath, and to help people, not just to make a profit. Now, we don't even want to get started on the COVID vaccines and all that happened with those, but that's not going away anytime soon. So taking personal responsibility for your life. This evil has infiltrated so many minds and so many hearts that the government owes you a living. The government owes you health care, the government owes you food, the government owes you housing. And when you get people on that line of thinking, then they start saying, hey, socialism would be great, because then, as the socialists say, you'll own nothing and be happy. Well, you'll own nothing, truth. You'll own nothing and be miserable. And if you want to know what it's like, visit North Korea, visit Venezuela, visit Communist China, visit Communist Russia, see what life is like there. Not good. People are trying to get into America. Why? Why do we have to have border security? Because people want to come in here. As one guy, I think, pointed out on the program a couple of weeks ago, somebody was saying, well, you know, border walls are terrible. They had those in East Germany, you know, and Reagan said, tear it down. Yeah, they had a border wall to keep their people in because all the people in East Germany wanted to leave because it was awful there. They wanted to go to West Germany, and so they had to build a wall to keep their people in. We have to build a wall to keep people out. And as Charlie Kirk pointed out when he would do his Prove Me Wrong events on college campuses, he'd talk to these kids, do you hate America? Yeah, I hate America. Do you want to leave America? No. It's like, that shows the greatness of America. Even people who say they hate America don't want to leave America. Pretty solid as an argument. Well, do you take personal responsibility for your life? Personal responsibility, let's make it back into the spiritual side of things. Do you take personal responsibility for your spiritual life to grow in the Lord? You know, when we come to church, church is important. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 10. We are to make sure that we're in the house of the Lord, that we're gathering with God's people, that we're encouraging, that we're learning. But it can't just be once a week because you just like eating. If you only eat once a week, you're not going to be healthy and strong. And so we have to get to the place where we learn how to feed ourselves, where we learn how to grow in the Lord, to where we can come to the Bible, we can glean from the Bible, we can learn, we can grow, we can talk to the Lord. We don't need someone to hold our hand to do it. We rely on the Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us into all truth. Well, we are up against a break. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, maybe a brief testimony about how you went from depending on others to saying, hey, I'm going to take personal responsibility for my life, my walk with God, my family, and how that really made a difference. So give me a call and let's talk.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about taking personal responsibility for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your spiritual growth, definitely for your income. So you're not saying, hey, government, you owe me a house, you owe me food, you owe me health care, you owe me everything. I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. The Bible is totally against that. 6 days shall you labor and do your work, and you rest on the seventh day. One in seven is a vacation day. That's how the Lord set it up. And as we've been repeating this verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, verse 10, for even when we were with you, Thessalonians, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Don't help those who will not work. Help those who cannot work. Now, I need to correct something. I talked about Scott Jennings on CNN. I accidentally said his name was Jenkins. I don't know where I got that from, but Scott Jennings is the one of the lone conservative voices on CNN. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, or a brief testimony of taking personal responsibility for your life, seeing that in action and how the Lord blessed you for doing that, or maybe you saw it in someone else, I would love to hear from you. And your testimony can always minister and bless another listener. And so give me a call, 888-589-8840, and let's talk. We have Joe on the line from Texas. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you, Pastor. I'm an architect, and I in college, we did a project where we were working on affordable housing, you know, maximizing efficiency, minimum amounts of everything, but to make a really nice place. And so we had a ministry from Dallas come in and evaluate our presentation. And they had this really cool ministry where they would find a company willing to take on a non-skilled person. They would set them up an apartment, pay the deposits. They would be on a bus route. Everything set up to help them. And what happened, they found out there was a 90% recidivism rate where people went back to assistance. And when we asked why, they said, well, when they're on their own and they're working and they're paying their bills, there's really not much difference in the amount of money that they ended up with versus mm-hmm. being on assistance. But when they were on assistance, they could sleep as late as they wanted, you know, stay up as late. No one was telling them what to do. And so the incentive, it was incredible. So this idea of not wanting to take personal responsibility, I mean, that was a real world example for us. And then the other thing I learned recently was I heard a political commentator say that every country is only 9 missed meals away from a revolution. Mm. And in the midst of what we're doing right now, I think creating this pain is part of the strategy of this, mm-hmm. What would be called a color revolution, if you will. So,
yeah. Great point, Joe. Yeah, it's just, you know, it breeds into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, all that is in the world, as the Bible talks about. Your flesh doesn't want to work. Your flesh wants to be immoral. Your flesh wants to be lazy. Your flesh wants to get everything for nothing. And your flesh, when, you know, the lust of the eyes, hey, I see what Joe has, I'm just going to go get it. You know, Jenna played a clip from a lady that just said, well, my food stamps, I don't have enough food stamps left, so I'm going to go shopping, just steal the stuff. Yeah, I haven't heard that before, 9 meals from a revolution, but that is really, really true. And as Tyra said, if this is the plan, we just create such unrest and people rise up and say, hey, you owe me all these things. You know, we're in serious trouble. Adrian Rogers used to say when half of the country doesn't work, and the other half of the country says it does no good for me to work because you're taking all my earnings, then nobody's working, and then we're totally sunk. And so there has to be this attitude that we help those who cannot work. We don't help those who will not work. So I appreciate it, Joe. It's good comment for sure. Well, we have Henry on the line from New Mexico. Henry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how you doing today, Pastor Shree? Really enjoy your show. Really
thank you, brother.
It, and, you know, I just wanted to kind of just give you an example of what my parents, you know, what they struggled through, you know, and how they helped me, you know, I didn't follow that path all the time, but I always went back to their example. You know, they lived in a time and a place in East Texas, you know, where there was actual racism. Mm-hmm. You know, and they weren't able to go to restaurants. They weren't able to go to certain places, you know. But they did more with the little that they had than what some people do with the most that they have the abundance that mm-hmm. and they don't do as much, you know.
Right.
And what they did have is they did a lot with it. You know, they believed in the Lord. They believed in hard work. They believed in going to work every day, you know, and that's what they instilled in me. Did I always follow that? No, I didn't. But I always went back to that right there and say, you know, my mom and dad did this. And me coming back to the Lord made me realize, you know, that, you know, I'm with the Lord. I can do great things. I can do things that, you know, that my mom and dad did, you know, just to believe in that, you know. And so that's what I wanted to say, you know, that, you know, I look at the people back, our parents and grandparents, that they did, they had very little, but they did so much with it, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, great point, Henry. You know, I was thinking about, there's a lady that asked, she had a ministry, and she asked Henry Ford, this was years and years ago, Henry Ford, the automaker, she said, will you give me $1 million for this school that she had? And he kind of laughed in her face, and he said, no, I'm not going to give you $1 million, but I give you a dime. And he gave her 10 cents. And instead of being insulted, she took this 10 cents and bought some seed with that 10 cents and planted. And then when those crops came up, I forget what it was that she planted, but then she sold those crops and she kept putting that back in. And after a year, she had enough money from that 10 cents that he gave to buy a piano, a used piano for the school. And so she wrote to Mr. Ford and said, look what we did, and with that gift that you gave us. And he was so impressed with her and her work ethic and her ability to take the little and turn it in, you know, like Jesus did with the little boy's lunch, and turn it into something, that he gave her a check for $1 million. He's like, that's the kind of person that I want to support. That's the kind of ministry, this lady and her attitude. That's who I want to give to. And so, you know, I told the church Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching at Southview Baptist Church in Rocheron, Texas. And I said, listen, the question of all questions when we die and stand before God as Christians is going to be this. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your time, your talent, and treasure? What did you do with those things I gave you? Did you take your one talent and bury it in the ground? Or did you take your one talent and use it for my glory? Whether you have five talents, whether you have two talents, whether you have one talent, it doesn't matter. And don't look at somebody that has more than you and say, well, I can't do anything because I don't have as much as so-and-so. Take what you have and use it for the glory of God, and he'll bless you for it. So God bless you, Henry. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in today. We have Becky on the line from Texas. Becky, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Welcome. Hey, I want to tell you, I stumbled upon your radio station. I've never heard you before, but it's really refreshing to hear what you're talking about, and it's talking about God and all the principles and how to better yourself, and it's pretty cool. I like it.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, Becky. What part of Texas do you live in?
Dallas.
You live in the Dallas area. Good. Well, you're not far from us.
I didn't even know you were in this area.
Yeah,
I'm
in Texas.
I'm going to have to look that up.
I'm in Texarkana, Texas, almost halfway
Texarkana.
Between Dallas and Little Rock.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, very good.
Well, I just wanted to call in. Your prompt really resonated with me this morning. I shared my testimony with the young lady I spoke to on the phone, and, you know, I've been away from drugs and that lifestyle for 25 years, and it's all because of God's grace and goodness, but it was also for the grace and goodness of my parents, who decided that, no, we're not going to take care of you, even though you need to get on your feet, but we'll help you, but we're not going to take care of you. And so it really bred a belief that I had to do it myself. I had to take care of myself. And flash forward 25 years, you know, I'm an accomplished individual. I've earned 2 degrees. I manage a multi-dollar business for another individual, and I'm in charge of people. And it's only by great God's glory. If you would have told me 25 years ago this is who I would be, I would have scoffed. I would have laughed. I wouldn't have believed you. But everything is possible with God.
Amen. That's a great testimony, Becky. Well, I'm glad that you called in. I'm glad that you stumbled upon us. I hope you will listen to American Family Radio. And we'd love, if you ever come out this way, if you ever go east and stop by Texarkana, we'd love to have you at First Baptist Texarkana one Sunday.
Thank you. And bless all your listeners, and everybody have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Becky. God bless you. We have Steve on the line from Oklahoma. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Jeff. I was just listening to your program today, and those two people, I don't know where they were from, the two ladies that were debating.
She was debating herself, yeah.
Oh, she's debating herself. They were talking about the SNAP benefits.
Yes.
You know, it was interesting listening to that because it made me think, and this may be a little testimony, but it made me think back in the late 80s. You know, my wife and I got married. We had four children in a matter of 7 years. I was working at a job. It was a union job, and I was working in a grocery warehouse as a forklift driver. And I remember we went on strike. And we went on strike. They wanted us to be out there on the picket line, and, you know, you went from making, you know, $16 an hour to where you were getting, like, this stipend of $40 a week, and this, you know, and I just thought, man, I'm going to get a union job, it's job security, and I'm not knocking the unions, there's a place for them in our country, but here I am, I got four little kids, I can't afford to feed four kids on $40 a week in 1988.
Right.
And I just remember my Sunday school teacher was talking to me one day, you know, around that time, and he's like, hey, you might want to start something part-time. And he recruited me into financial services sales, which today I've now built a, by the grace of God, I've built a successful practice. But what was interesting was I remember going home and telling my wife when we were on strike, I don't like it when someone has control over me not being able to go and work. I love to work. I love to work overtime. I love to, like you were saying, Pastor Jeff, when you put your head on the pillow at night, there's just that sense of fulfillment and that purpose in your soul that, yeah, I might not be rich, but that's okay. I'm going out and I'm doing something productive, and it's, you know, it's good for the mind. It's good for psychologically and everything. And so, anyway, I just wanted to share that because what we're doing in this country by giving things to people, money to people that can work, we're hurting them. We're destroying their self-dignity, their self-esteem. And, I mean, it was because of that strike that, I struggled for the first 10 years in financial services sales, but that was 37 years ago. And today, I only see clients 3 days a week, and I'm involved in nonprofits, you know, with prison ministry. I've called in before and talked about prison ministry. But God's used that to not only bless me, but allow me to, you know, give back to.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, that is so good, Steve. And you're exactly right. We're destroying people by giving to them what they should be doing for themselves. I still remember what John Wooden's father taught him. Rules for life. He said, never do for others what they should be doing for themselves. You're not helping them. You're enabling them to be lazy and irresponsible. And that's not, the scripture does not reward laziness and irresponsibility. And so God teaches us to be productive. Occupy, Jesus said, until I come. Do business until I come. We have time for one quick more call. Roger from Arkansas. Roger, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. What I was wanting to say was just talking about people being working when they couldn't or whatever. You know, my dad was blind. He worked all of his life. He raised five children. He worked at the state capitol as a head chef at the state capitol cafeteria. And he produced a good family. Myself, I have 34 in my family, just in my own family.
Mm.
And my other brothers and sisters has big families, and they all.
Yeah, man, that's awesome, Roger. So no matter what your situation is in life, use what God has given you to His glory, and He will bless you for it. Take responsibility for your life. And hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.